We're going to be taking gardening questions this hour, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And we'll start off with the dirty word of the day.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day in honor of Easter is chinch bug eggs. So it's a phrase, chinch bug eggs. In the spring, female chinch bugs begin laying eggs. The eggs are pushed into protected places, often being found between the leaf sheath and the stem. Females lay only a few eggs for several weeks. The eggs are small and oval-shaped, with a blunt end which four small projections extend. The eggs begin as a pale white color and turn amber and eventually red before they hatch. This will take about 1 to 2 weeks, and the nymphs that hatch complete a series of 5 molts before maturing into adults. Chinch bug populations in the Southeast are active year-round, with the occasional winter season dormancy period for adults when the conditions are cold. As a result, chinch bugs generally do not leave their feeding ground and remain sheltered around the roots and base of St. Augustine grass. During the warmer months, populations could have 7 to 10 overlapping generations. If you suspect you have chinch bug infestation, part the grass at the edge of the affected, yellowing, wilted area and examine the soil and base of the turf. Be sure to check in several places. You should be able to see the chinch bug nymphs and adults crawling around the disabled turf. You can also use a coffee can and cut the ends of the coffee can out on both ends and place it into the ground on the outside, just brimming right at the edge of your dead or yellowing area. Place the coffee can down about halfway, fill it with water, and watch to see if bugs emerge at the top of the water. You can also sample it another way by the plastic bag technique. For this, you place and seal a large square of turf in a sealable, clear plastic bag. Place the bag in the sun for several minutes. As the bag heats, the insects will leave the turf and collect on the inside of the bag where they can be counted. An approximate treatment threshold, which means that if you have one or two, there's no need to treat. They're probably on their way out or just starting. But if you see 20 to 25 chinch bugs per square foot, then you want to treat it. The problem is localized. Spot treatment of off-color turf and around the perimeter of the affected spot is appropriate and preferred. So the dirty word of the day is chinch bug eggs. If you want to send your kids out on a chinch bug egg Easter hunt, think they'll be busy for quite a while. Right?
That's good stuff.
You just don't think about chinch bugs having eggs.
I would have never. Somebody would have asked me, I would have been like, I don't know how they reproduce. Got nothing. Thank you. I have been educated again. Thank
you. There you go. And so if you would like to learn more about the items that we talk about, I'm going to be posting them on our Facebook page later on this afternoon. And you can download the show anytime by going to iHeartRadio and also anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't get to miss an episode. And then you can listen to it at whatever time you want, even at like 9 o'clock at night. Yeah. So let's go to Roy in Windermere. Good morning, Roy. Happy Easter.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I missed it.
Happy Easter.
Oh, happy Easter. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
My question is, I I guess I did a no-no. I had all my seeds started for vegetables, and I thought I must have had some weed killer in it, but I sprayed it with Spectacide. It's for multi-fungus and stuff for vegetable gardens. And, but anyway, the plants died out on me.
Yeah.
Is it too late to start seeds now?
No, go ahead. What kind of seeds? Let me ask that first.
Vegetable seeds, tomatoes, peppers.
Oh, yeah. No, you can start tomatoes and peppers now. Sure. That's not a problem.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead and start them, and then that way you'll, before the month of June. Once we hit the end of May, June, it's going to be a little harder for them to, you know, produce fruit and stuff during the summertime with the heat so hot.
But it's all right to do it now.
Yes, but you might as well, too. Also, you could buy transplants now instead.
I probably have the seeds.
Okay, you can try and let me know what happens.
Yeah, I got one more question.
Sure.
I started my seeds with starting soil.
Yes.
Can I reuse them, the soil, or put it in a compost, or just?
I would put it in the compost because you sprayed the Spectracide on it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I would just go ahead and put it in the compost pile. Or just let it age a little bit longer. It's not going to last in it forever.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Thank you, Roy. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens.
Likewise. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I have a wonderful, wonderful April Fool's Day prank that was placed in 1957 when spaghetti wasn't as common as it is. They actually said to the audience, they showed a family in Switzerland harvesting spaghetti from a tree. And because pasta wasn't as common then as it is now, viewers actually phoned in to ask how they could grow their own spaghetti trees, in which the BBC replied, "Place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best."
Nice. I'm going to go home and try that.
Spaghetti, isn't that amazing? And then Michael Perry, he is Mr. Plant Geek. He has a wonderful book called Hortus Curious about weird and wacky information about plants. It's a great book. He also did a wonderful prank. He, with Thompson and Morgan, the seed company, they issued a press release about the amazing Power Flower product, which was a sunflower. It was called the USB Sunflower. And it was a sunflower which could charge up an iPad with a waterproof USB port in its stem. To the dismay of many plant-loving, digitally-minded people, this was a prank, but people believed it. It was April Fool's.
Nice.
And then in 2014, Grow Veg published a video on how to grow your own chocolate M&Ms in your garden, and they actually showed the M&Ms growing on a plant. Unfortunately, chocolate lovers were disappointed to find out that this wasn't real. But they did appreciate all the work, the hard work that went into sticking the M&Ms on the plant. And then Pop Tulips, taking on the concept of growing flowers using the popcorn method. Funny how flowers do that, county.co.uk. It's an English website. They released a video showing tulips being grown from a bag in the microwave. And you definitely don't want to do that one at home. So this is what I thought was really funny. The Print a Bless Mom, she had a photo of donut seeds. And these were seeds you could plant to get donuts, raise donuts and grow donuts. And it's a little seed packet with the words donut holes on it. And they put in Cheerios for the seeds. Isn't that great? And then in 2012, the Independent published an online news article stating that the government was holding a hosepipe amnesty, a watering hose, during which British gardeners had to hand in their hosepipe equipment to find the long drought. Many people believed it, and the Independent is such an established newspaper, but the outlet had to update the article with a simple check the date. And then Michael Perry, again, he grew a egg and chips plant. So you can tell Mr. Michael Perry is Mr. Plant Geek is English. And he doesn't, the plant had eggs growing on the top and potatoes on the bottom, chips. And he used the aubergine's common name, eggplant, to refer to the top of the plant. The chips are potatoes which grow underneath. A real space saver. And this was actually, you could buy the plant. Actually, it is an actual plant, eggplant and potatoes. And then he had another prank in 2021 where he created a T-shirt that you could wear, then grow, and he demonstrated how the T-shirt worked. So just incredibly funny humor. The Brits are such great pranksters. Let's go to Jeffrey in Tallahassee. Good morning, Jeffrey. Happy Easter.
Well, good morning. I'm laughing here at all these pranks, but the problem is that all these people who fall for these pranks vote.
I agree with you.
Before I get in my garden question, I'm going to tell you one more prank that the BBC pulled. One year they had an astronomer on there, and he was telling everybody that due to a flare from the sun and the relationship between the sun and Pluto, there would be a lessening of gravity on the planet, and people could jump up and sense the fact that there was less gravity pull on our planet. And literally hundreds of people phoned into the BBC saying that, yes, they experienced it, and it was remarkable.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're right. The British have a lovely sense of humor. I called because I've got some tea olives, okay. And I've let them grow a little too tall. They're about 9.5 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
They've been blooming. I'm about 20 miles north of Tallahassee.
Okay.
They've been blooming quite a bit here the last couple weeks or so. And I actually want to transplant them because they're blocking a beautiful view I have of a lake. And I'm wondering, one, is it okay to transplant them? And how far back would I need to cut them in order to have the best opportunity for them to grow once I transplant them?
Okay, so one, I don't want you to cut them at all. Okay, so when you're transplanting, you don't want to give the plant too many stresses to actually, you know, live through. So by transplanting it, that's one stress. Okay, and then when you trim them off, you know, a week or so before or after it, it's going to stress them out even more. So one, if you're going to move them, do you want to wait till the flowering's done, or do they need to be moved right now?
I can wait till the flowering's done. They're getting close to that.
Okay, yes. So wait till the flowering's done. Then I want you to root prune the outside of the tea olive. Okay, that means taking the shovel and going all the way around, digging all the way around the shrub until you know that it's all the way cut. The roots are on the sides are cut. Do not move it yet. Okay, do not cut the bottom roots yet then. Then water it really well for about a week, and then have your hole dug where you're going to transplant them to, and after a week of good watering or good rainfall, then you would go ahead and cut the bottom and then move it then. All right? And so then you want to water it very well for at least 2 to 3 weeks afterwards to reduce the amount of stress they have. The water is going to be the best thing for it. The flowers will probably fall off if they haven't, you know, finished blooming when you transplant. But then when you see new growth on the tea olive, when you see the new leaves, then you know that the roots are established and it feels comfortable in blooming again. It wants to start growing again. So that will be your clue as to when you can cut it back. So when you see the new growth, if you wanted to wait a couple more weeks and then cut it back, you can cut it back by a third and you're not going to do any damage to the tea olive. But they need all of their leaves that they have now to go through photosynthesis and support that stress that the plant's going to go through.
Well, I'm very glad I called you. I'll call you again, and thank you. You guys have a wonderful Easter up there as well. Down there, I should say.
There you go. Thank you so much, Jeff. Call anytime. That will be great. Thank you. Lizzie, do I have time to take Scott's? Yeah, so Scott and Brevard, good morning. Happy Easter.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have several quick questions, so I'll get right to them.
Okay.
I have a razzmatazz crepe myrtle. Mm-hmm. I usually have it trimmed back in late February. I haven't done it this year. I'm a month behind. Is it too late to trim it? It's already starting to grow dormancy, and it's looking really good. Will I harm it if I trim it?
Okay, so Scott, why do you want to trim it?
Well, it gets kind of big, and it'll start reaching over the side of my house. It'll start licking the roof of my house.
Okay, so it's not in the right place, really. So you have to cut it every year. Yeah, so is it blooming now, did you say? I'm sorry.
No, it broke dormancy, and there's lots of leaves coming out of the branches, which are normally cut by this time.
Okay, so if you will cut it back, cut it diagonally. Do not cut it straight across, okay? Don't hack it back. Cut it diagonally at the top of the branches. You can go ahead and cut it now. It'll just delay the blooming period probably for about a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I also have a Barbados cherry.
Oh, good. Uh-huh.
It's a good time to feed it. What do I feed it?
You just want to use a balanced fertilizer, just, you know, one with nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. So have you had a soil test done of where it is?
No, I have not.
Okay, that would be a good idea. So that will tell you exactly how much you need to fertilize it with. So get a soil test kit from Soil Agri-Tech and go to your extension office, and they can give you the bag to put it in and send it off. And that'll tell you exactly how much of each nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium you need. But if you just want to put down just a balanced fertilizer, follow the label for the amounts and size of your tree.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I also have azaleas, and they're just slowing down now. They're just about done blooming. How long before I can go ahead and trim them back?
You can trim them back anytime after they finish blooming.
Okay, and how about feeding them? Do I need to feed them now or wait until...
Yeah, go ahead and feed them now. Yeah, that's important. Go ahead and do that now because they just finished blooming, so they'll need a little bit of, you know, support for growing new leaves and, you know, getting ready. You can cut them back all the way through June. Do not cut azaleas back after the month of June.
Okay, so feeding them now is good. And
yes.
How about before they start growing again, like in November?
Yes, you can put down a fertilizer. Yeah, you want to fertilize, and that's why I was asking about the soil test. If you get the soil test, it will tell you exactly, you know, what you have in your soil. So you may not need to put nitrogen down because you may have enough nitrogen in the ground already. So you may just have to add, you know, phosphorus or triple superphosphate and or potassium. So, you know, go ahead and get a soil test, and that's going to tell you exactly what you need to fertilize. Fertilize in the springtime, fertilize in the fall.
Thank you. And I have an orchid tree also. It's just now finishing up blooming. Is there anything special I need to do to it?
No. How tall is it?
Oh, it's about 12 foot tall.
12 foot tall. I mean, and do you have lawn around it? What's surrounding it?
Yes.
And
it's
so,
in my backyard.
Okay. So if you fertilize your lawn, that should be fine for your Hong Kong tulip tree.
Okay. I use a liquid, last question, sorry for carrying on so long.
I'm going to start charging you.
I use liquid seaweed a lot. I go out with a hose end sprayer and I hit everything in the yard.
Uh-huh.
I've got a couple plants that have gone gonzo on me. I have an Esperanza that is only supposed to get, according to tag, 4 foot tall. This is about 15, 16 foot tall.
Yes, let me go ahead and take that. I'm going to answer you after the break. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have Scott on hold. We're going to answer his question. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680 like Linda in Zone 8 did, and I'm going to be answering her bottle brush question. We've got a question about crotons and then also about hydrangeas and pink azaleas. We've got a busy half hour. Now we have Scott on the line. And Scott, let's go over your question again. What was your question?
I said I had an orchid tree in the backyard, and right. You said that just a regular lawn fertilizer.
Right, we'll take care of that.
Absorb that. I also have a powder puff tree form in my yard, and I have a Geiger tree.
Oh, now, sounds also, lovely.
Thank you. Will they also absorb the lawn fertilizer?
They will, but how tall are all of these trees?
Well, the powder puff... He's a mighty mite. Same thing, I've been feeding him the liquid seaweed. And in the area, there's a few of them around, not many, but they're kind of wimpy compared to mine. They're maybe 6 foot tall and 6 foot wide. Mine is double that. I've had to cut off branches because the one side has too many branches and it's starting to lean.
Right. And so you have just some really great soil there, but also the sea kelp is going to really add a boost of energy to it. So it's really high in nitrogen, and it will help it grow. So, but if you're also fertilizing your lawn and they're close to the lawn, they will absorb the lawn fertilizer too as well. So I don't know.
Okay.
And if they're growing big and you're very happy with them, I wouldn't change what you're doing.
Okay, great. I was just wondering, and I really value your opinion. Thank you very much, Ms. Watkins. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Happy Easter, Miss.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter to you. Great, great question. So Linda in Zombie said, Teresa, can bottle brush be started by cuttings, and do the cuttings start better if they're fresh grown? Yes. And so what you would want to do is use a green, one of the green branches that you can bend really flexibly, and you want to cut, I would probably say 8 to 10 inches, cut at the ends, Linda, diagonally, cut one end diagonally, strip any of the leaves off of it that's going to be underneath the ground, and you want to have about 4 to 5 inches underneath the ground, and keep it moist, keep it in the shade. And you can put a bag over it, a plastic bag over it to help with the moisture and humidity for it. And, I would do probably 5 or 6 cuttings to make sure that you get them. So I have about a 45%, almost 50% success rate on my cutting. So I always, if I need one, I do 2 or 3. And if I need 3 to 5 of them, I will do, 6 to 10, try that and let me know what you want. And thank you for the information, Lizzie. It was 40 degrees in North Florida this morning.
Ooh,
so that's cold.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real cold front. So then I have someone who said, can you plant outside an indoor hydrangea and pink azaleas? So we have to know that indoor hydrangeas were originally grown outside.
Okay.
And so, and pink azaleas. So, yes, you can. They need shade. And I would look at what they're growing in, because sometimes the bark that they plant, these holiday plants that you can buy in the grocery stores or at the nurseries, are grown in a different medium that's very dry and holds on to moisture a lot, but it's not what it's not the ground. So, I would place it in the ground outside. In the soil that you're going to be growing in, and just kind of make sure that you don't have too much peat moss around the plant. You can kind of remove the peat moss a little bit, with the roots, pull and tug on it a little bit gently so that it opens up and you get that soil in there so the roots can actually, grow and adapt to that area. Yes, you can. It'll probably need a lot of water, so make sure that it's getting water probably every 2 to 3 days if we don't have rainfall. Okay, great question. Next question is, and Lizzie, I think we need to have another lesson on a perfect text message.
Yes, so a perfect text message would be your first name, the city that you're in, or if you actually know the zone, that's even better. And then what your question is. So that's perfect, because then that way Teresa can narrow down if you're able to grow it in those conditions.
Thank you. That's wonderful. So can I dig up a 4-foot-tall croton from the ground and move it to another spot? Yes, you can. And if so, how deep are the roots to dig? The crotons don't have a big, massive root system. I would probably say between 1 foot, depending on the age of it, 1 to 2 feet down. So you want to, again, root pruning before you transplant is always a good idea. I don't necessarily think you need to do it with a lot of tropical perennials or tropical plants. They really adapt very easily to transplanting, so they don't have a massive root ball like a tea olive that I was discussing earlier, or a woody ornamental tree or shrub. And so I would just pop it up, dig down 2 feet, pop it up, put it in the new hole, and it should be good to go. All right. Make sure it's watered well before you do that, and water it well afterwards. That's going to be the main stress on it. The shock of the roots getting cut, the water will help reduce the stress of it. And so I have a question, text message here. Why do you never offer solutions for chinch bugs in St. Augustine or sod webworms? Well, the solutions are out there. You can always get a grubicide, and you go to the store, you buy a product that has the label on it for chinch bugs or for sod webworms, okay? And so the grubicides and the chinch bug pesticides that you can place down, they're available at the store and very easy to find. So you want to follow the label. But why do I not offer solutions? Well, one, maybe the question that they asked me wasn't the solution. They didn't ask for a solution, or I'm bringing it up. I don't like to recommend chemical products when there's possibly no need for it. So I think people put down too many pesticides as it is. They kind of nuke their lawns. They don't know what the problem is, and they will put down a pesticide, an herbicide, and then fertilizer, or they're thatching. I have someone asked me yesterday, tell me how to dethatch my lawn. And their lawn is bahia grass that hasn't been in the ground a year and a half. It doesn't need dethatched. So the solutions are there. And if someone called and asked me for solutions, I would give it to them.
That sounds good. All right. Can we take caller real quick just before we go to break? It's Eileen.
Okay. Good morning, Eileen. Happy Easter.
That's what I'm calling for. And I wanted to tell you I need to stop doing somersaults in the yard.
Oh, no. Did you do one in the yard? Is there a video? Is there a video?
No, but I hurt my leg so badly.
Oh, no.
I was in urgent care yesterday.
Oh, no. You're just too enthusiastic about gardening, Eileen.
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, I hope you feel better soon. I hope you feel better soon. Happy Easter. We'll be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I'd like to say happy Easter to Ira and then also to Veronica. And Veronica lives in Brantford on the Suwannee River. She has a three-sided split rail fence over the septic tank as it is in front of the house as you drive up. She wants to plant plants with color as well as ones that do not have to be replaced yearly. So she bought a tropical hibiscus, Mexican petunias, and Scheffler arbicolas. And she said, are these appropriate to plant near septic tanks? And I will say no. Okay, the tropical hibiscus, yes. You can plant the tropical hibiscus over to the side off of the slope of your septic tank area. But your Mexican petunias, please don't plant them. They are highly invasive, and I do not recommend them. They will really explode with your septic tank moisture and nutrition that comes from it. I would do something else, but not the Scheffler arbicola either, because those get big too, and the root system will get into your septic tank area. So those two are not good. The tropical hibiscus is fine. You don't want to plant any edibles, no raised beds, no trees or large shrubs. So what can you plant? You can plant butterfly garden plants like butterfly perennials, sun hosta, mimosa, rain lilies, muley grass, Thakahatchee grass, and this is off to the side, not necessarily on top if you don't want to, daylilies, and even drift roses and small boxwoods, you could, like wintergreen. You can plant those on it, so you can do a nice little hedge underneath your fence, and you could also plant wildflowers along in there, anything without a big root system. You don't want to plant anything with a root system that's going to interfere with your septic tank, or that you have to put a lot of fertilizer on it. So again, remember, it's a septic tank area. You do not want to fertilize it, okay? So just put, again, small perennials that don't have a deep root system. Annuals will work just as fine. But mimosa, blue-eyed grass, which are two natives, will go very nicely on it, Veronica. So great, great question. Let's see. I need a potted plant, table plant, that can thrive in full shade. Great question, okay? So one, you can do African violets. You can do cyclamen during the wintertime. You can do spider plants or sansevieria. Now, sansevieria, snake plants, they come in a variety of sizes, very, very, very tall, but they also have ones that don't get more than 4 to 5 inches tall. So sansevieria, you want to get the smaller ones. Staghorn fern, starting out, is a really nice small plant that you, in like a couple of years, can hang it from your tree outside. Bird's nest fern is a really lovely tabletop plant. Jade plant will take the shade really well and look nice on your table. Peperomia, which is really nice. I love the emerald ripple. Calatheas, they do have smaller prayer plants that you can put on your table. And then you can also do a type of pot that you put in hanging plants. So like an ivy or a pothos will grow on on your table, and you can have dimension in it. So what I would like you to do is to have one, depending on the size of the pot, so that's a big thing. If it's a small pot, then just stick to one plant and just grow one plant. But if it's more of a bowl and it's at least, I would say, 12 inches wide, 12 to 15 inches wide, then you can put in a tall plant in the center. And by tall, I mean, you know, 6 to 8 inches. Then you can put some plants on the center portion or plant some pothos, English ivy, anything that is a vine that you can put around. Now, you will have to trim it occasionally, but just having a nice assortment of plants, like you would get at a florist or the box stores or a nursery, just a nice display of 3 to 4 plants in a bowl will be very good. You don't want to overwater it, and you want to make sure it has good drainage. So if it doesn't have any holes in the pot, you do not need to put rocks or shards or anything at the bottom of it. That's not going to help. We do not recommend that anymore. And then you will want to go ahead and just make sure you're not overwatering. Okay? The African violets, you want to use a little bit of warm water. But if it's out in the patio where you're going to get rainfall, make sure it's got holes in the pot. You do not want to have that soppy water, rainwater sitting there, because the plant will just rot. Okay, so that's a really great question. I would like to thank Dana Venrick for being one of the founders and sponsors of the Florida Wildflower Festival. It's always held in March on the third weekend of March. So if you didn't make it this year, make plans to visit DeLand next year during the Wildflower Festival. It's so much fun. And Dana's the one who helped get that started. So kudos to you, Dana. Thank you so much. He has Quality Green Specialist Nursery. His plants are amazing and just wonderful. And I'm also going to post pictures of Ira, who listens to the show regularly. He is getting some terrestrial orchids in the mail. And he went to Peterson's Nursery, and he met Karen and got some bait for his ant problem. And so he has a wonderful picture with Karen Peterson there. So I'll post those onto Facebook too as well, and he can can look at that. So we want to thank him for going to our sponsors. Visit our sponsors. Tell them thank you for sponsoring Better Lawns and Gardens.
That's right. And, you know, they have great merchandise. Well, I don't know. Would you call it foliage, plant? What would you call I mean, they just have amazing stuff, both, you know, the Quality Green Specialist and same with Peterson.
Yeah, no, the plants are so wonderful and reasonable, and just they're there to help. They're very knowledgeable, so you can go there if you don't, you know, it's not Saturday morning and you can't call in. They are always really willing to help.
They can answer your questions, yes.
Yes.
They're professionals.
They're professionals. They're great. You know, so I really do thank them. So Andrea said, wishing you both a very happy Easter. And what you just said on the radio is what you had told me before about finding a smaller plant that will thrive in the house. So you're welcome, Andrea. I love putting plants everywhere. And you can grow a lot of plants indoors. If you have an indoor area that would thrive with a beautiful houseplant, ZZ Plants, Azamia forsythii, is a great, great plant. It loves dark corners. And I know because my daughter, she has them in her house. Genevieve and Jeff, they have a beautiful ZZ plant that they've been caretaking it for the last 3 years, and it's big and it's huge and it grows, and they literally have no light inside. So it's all
really?
Lights. Yeah, well, they have windows, but on the outside, it's not really a bright place, and their ZZ plant does really well. So if you have no light at all, ZZ plant or Sansevieria is the choice. And so we have a great lineup coming up in the next few weeks. So you're going to want to listen to Better Lawns and Gardens, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. But if they can't, you can go to our website, which is betterlawns.com. Subscribe to the show on iHeart or wherever you listen to podcasts. And then go on our Facebook page. And if you like us, that would be really great. That would make us a happy Easter. And we would love that. And so I do appreciate it. I want to wish a happy Easter to everyone. Happy Passover. And also Ramadan is just wrapping up in the next few weeks. So April is a wonderful month. Spring is a wonderful season. And everyone should be out gardening. The world would be a better place if we gardened more.
I agree. I've really been enjoying my gardens this year for sure. So definitely thank you, Teresa, for your encouragement and encouragement to our listeners to actually get out and be adventurous with growing stuff that we didn't think that we could grow. Because, I mean, I've just... Everything's really taken off, the stuff that you suggested, especially the mint. And beware of mint. If Teresa tells you only plant a little bit of mint, just plant a little bit of mint.
But it's a great ground cover, and I bet it smells good. Do you smell it as you're walking through it?
Oh, heck yeah. I still got the chocolate mint that you and Tony gave me, and then I got peppermint. I've got spearmint. I've got, you name the mint, and I've got it all over my different spots.
That's wonderful. Juicy mint plants, they have the stripes on them. So on the stripes on the leaf, and they have orange leaves that are striped diagonally. And the, the cherry has the cherry red striped diagonally.
Okay. Well, I got pineapple, and it's the white stripes. Well,
April Fools, there's no juicy mint.
Well, there's actually pineapple mint, so there you go.
From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
She really did get me with that one, y'all, just so you know. And if you missed any of the show, you can go back and listen to it. Just search on any of your podcast formats that you listen to, so search Better Lawns and Gardens, or you can go to our website, betterlawns.com, and listen to us there. Happy Easter.